Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Marr.
We do love celebrating the lives of people who have made enormous contributions to footy on Drive, and it doesn't worry us how far back we have to go. Not that we're going that far back in today's case, but a man whose contribution to footy across Victoria speaks for itself. Those who know Frank Vigona know what a stalwart, particularly the VFA, he was for a very long time. Well, today we celebrate the day that 40 years to the day he umpired the first of his VFA grand finals. He umpired six of those, and he's been good enough to join us on the show, one of the most legendary umpires Victorian football's ever known. Frankie, thanks for joining us, mate.
It's a great pleasure, Andrew, and what a very humbling introduction. Very nice. Thank you.
I have enormous respect for you, Frank. I was a young man watching a lot of VFA football, and I was always admired the way you controlled some of the scariest individuals I ever saw. And you won't remember this, but I did play a game of footy once that you umpired. I'm sure I did. Yep.
Were you playing with Campbell?
No, I was playing with you. Can you remember ever umpiring a game? I think we were having a bye the same week that Xavier had a bye, and I went to Marsland. Right. I think you might have come out and umpired a game of ours Does that ring a bell to you?
Yes, I did umpire some AGS games and a lot of APS games when I finished with the VFA. But I was umpiring APS and AGS whilst I was umpiring sometimes. We doubled up sometimes, and I'd do a game during the week, a game on Friday, just to keep the legs turning over, as it were, Andy.
It was a great thrill, Frank.
This particular game, whom were you playing?
No, we were playing Xavier. Yeah, playing Xavier. We had a bye in the AGS. They had a bye in the APS.
Okay.
And, kept the wheels turning.
Right. Good.
So how did it all start for you, Frank? Can you remember when you sort of fell for the umpiring caper?
Yes. In my very last year, I attended Assumption College, Andy. In my very last year at school there, I boarded there for 5 years. Ray Carroll, the legendary Ray Carroll, was then coaching the under-12s. And he asked me, look, would you umpire a game for us? I'd never done any of this before. I'm 18 years of age, and I umpired it, and I fell in love instantly with umpiring. I wasn't good enough to play. I played, but I was the most pedestrian of foot soldiers, I can assure you. Very ordinary conveyance. So my lot, if I was going to remain in football, was going to be in umpiring. I took a love to it instantly, Andy, and then the moment I left school, I grew up in Geelong, so I joined the Geelong Football Umpires League and umpired GFL for the next year, until I then moved to university, into Melbourne, to university. And then I took up with the VFL, what was known as then the VFL Reserve Grade competition, which umpired games up to the under-19s and all the major competitions around Melbourne. So that was my introduction and start.
Frank, can I ask you about the modern game and how you view it? Umpires seemingly have always got a bit of a hard time, but right at the moment they seem to be caught in the crosshairs. Do you have some sympathy for the modern umpire?
Well, I do, Bob, and by the way, we've never met, but I've followed your career from afar, and what a wonderful career it was. But to answer your question,
likewise, Frank.
I do, because it's very, very difficult for them at the moment, because I think they're pulled every which way. They don't know what's going on. Their directions are coming from a higher source, and there's a lot of conflict in the moment in the way they're going about it. And so you would have seen for yourself in recent weeks that you don't know what to expect as a viewer when you watch. What you see in one game, you're not going to see in the next. And I think they're confused. How long should I give this bloke with the ball? Should I pay this for in the back? It was very, very simple once, and it is not that hard, and it shouldn't be that hard. I don't blame the umpires themselves, because I've seen this coming, I think, since the early part of this century, when once the philosophy was, and Andy, you'll remember this, and Bob, you would have grown up with this, that the umpire, we were taught as players and as umpires, The ball player was to be protected. That was a number one a premise upon which you work. That was the major philosophy. And everything flowed from that. You protected him because he made your game. That was constructive umpiring. But bit by bit, for some reason or other, the rights of the tackler. Now, of course, he has rights, but the rights of the tackler took over. And it is no question that in recent years, you can expect if the player is caught with the ball, chances are he's going to get a free kick one way or the other. Shouldn't be that way. So we've now, it doesn't really matter what the player with the ball is doing, whether he's dragged it in underneath him, it doesn't really matter. It seems to be that the player who's tackling him can do whatever he likes. In the back, and you'll see them falling into the back of players, driving them into the ground, having an arm around them too high, but they'll still be free kicked. And the time for prior opportunity has become reduced, less and less time. And it's made our game a mess.
Oh, yeah, no, it's there's some confusion running amok. There's no question about that at the moment, Frank.
And you agree with me, Andy?
Oh, I do. And look, there's reasons for it, I think. They're trying to use the umpiring to suit a view of the game that they have, and this sort of idea for the game and the way the ball should be in constant flow and constant movement. And if the game can't do it themselves and if the coaches won't allow that to happen, then the legislators are trying to get the rules used in such a way that they can artificially sort of make that happen. But it's I'm sure it's not the right way to go.
It's not. I mean, it was happening once. Have a look at any game from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and then there began a change in the late 90s. But the ball player, so he was driven into the ground or he's in the back too high, boom, free kick, bang, gone. Now, of course, and what happened as time went by, that these packs and scrimmages were allowed to go on and on and on and on. There would be, 9 times out of 10, Andy, a major free kick in there, but it wouldn't be paid. First you had 5 players in, you finish up with 12 or 13, then you have a ball-up mess. Didn't need to happen.
Frank, can I ask you, the high watermarks of a great umpire is not just when to make a decision, but when not to. In your time umpiring, were you aware of being conscious of players who were diving for free kicks?
Yes, you get to know them. And being in the VFA, well, that's where we're umpiring week after week, you got to know the characters who would play for free kicks and who would stage. And once you learnt that, you might have had the wool pulled over your eyes once, maybe twice, and then you learn, I'm being hoodwinked here. This is not going to happen again. I've got your number. And then it didn't happen again.
I think there's a few being hoodwinked in the AFL at the moment, Frank.
Yes, they are. They don't know where they are. Should I give this bloke more time? Prior opportunity. That's become reduced. And, of course, the moment that A very well-respected coach like Clarkson spoke out, you knew instantly there was going to be a major knee-jerk reaction. And unquestionably there was.
Talking to one of the great umpires in Victorian football, a man who umpired 6 VFA grand finals 40 years ago, umpired his first. Frank, a lot of people are keen to see at least trialled it at the AFL level, 16 aside, to try and create a bit more space and encourage a bit more sort of ball flow in ball movement. Did you like umpiring games of footy, 16 aside, in the VFA?
Well, I did, and but by God, with one umpire system, and until, see, we in the VFA went to the 2-umpire system a full 5 years after the VFL, so never had that experience. And then suddenly, on the eve of the 1980 finals, they introduced it. Had to learn very quickly. I liked it, but my God, when you were between, say, what were the 15, when we never had lines marked on the ground then, but what would now be, say, the 50-metre arcs, when you were between them without the extra 4 players, you knew, I soon learned, you had to be absolutely flat to the boards to get yourself into position with the 1-umpire system. But it became harder and harder and harder. And by 1980, I was waking up every Monday morning after a game that little bit tighter each week because game became faster. And of course, it was nothing. You will remember, Andy, VFA scores were extremely high. It was nothing to have 45 goals kicked in a game. That was pretty well dirty gur. And of course, the quarters would go, nothing for a quarter to go minimum 35 minutes. That was usually par for the course. So it was a long game, and you would run an enormous amount of kilometres, and much of it at a high pace. But I liked it. I liked it very much. I liked the VFA. I loved the colour.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great league, a great competition. Hey, we have to get a wriggle on, but we're talking about a couple of things that are sort of part of a bygone era. You were also, if my memory serves me correct, weren't you a Latin teacher? You teach Latin for about 25 years?
Yes, I'm still teaching Latin. I taught at Melbourne Grammar.
Yeah.
I taught at Melbourne Grammar for 28 years, and I took all the Latin there in the middle school, but I can thank the Maris brothers for that, and the Maris priests before them.
Have you got a favourite?
They taught me.
Have you got a favourite Latin quote?
Do I have a favourite Latin quote? Yes, I do. Mens sanar in corpore sano. Now you all know this well. As a Carlton, as a fierce Carlton supporter. Healthy mind, healthy body.
What a lovely work from you, Frank.
Well, just on that, Frankie, I believe your fitness regime is still pretty strict. You're up at pretty early in the morning every day?
Yes. I'm not allowed before 5 a.m. these days, but sometimes it's before that. Now it's 5 a.m. while we're in the middle of this COVID-19 lockdown. But the moment that the clock strikes 5, I'm out the door every morning of the week. And that's a run then, which will include sprints and a jogging and sometimes a straight run. I'm unable to go to a gym at the moment, but I have weights. That's always been part of my regime. Very similar to Tommy. The alarm used to go off at 5:20 a.m. for Tommy, and he'd be out that door. It'd be a run, and later in the day a workout in the gym. And that's the way I operate now, Andy, and still love it.
Frank,
it was
apparent for all to see that you're always fitter than 99% of the players you were umpiring, so which would always make the rest of us feel a little bit inadequate every now and again, Frank. But that's okay.
Oh, don't be.
Hey, congratulations on the anniversary. You've made a huge contribution to footy in Victoria, mate. And we've loved having you on the show. Thanks for being part of it.
Well, thank you, Andy, and thank you, Bob. And thank you for asking me to be on. I've enjoyed it very much.
Good on you, mate. Frank Vergona, absolute legend of Victorian footy. If you've got a Frankie Vergona story,
feel free coming in on the long
haul. Are there?
Yeah, some rippers.
Oh, he was larger than life, Frankie. If you've got a yarn, feel free to share it with us. I can hit a ball from